Happy August 7th, everybody. Hey, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it is 2020, in case you're sort of locked in a time warp or something. And some of the schools are back now during the pandemic. I was reading some crazy stuff in Georgia, how a kid took a Twitter photo and put it up on Twitter or somewhere. I'm showing my age, probably something new besides Twitter, and shared the crowded halls and no kids and everybody bumping into each other. And the principal took that, they took that under advisement quite well and immediately suspended the kid. Okay, so that eliminates that problem, right? So the crowded halls and no masks shouldn't be a problem during a pandemic. They suspended the kid that took the pictures. Very impressive, very impressive. Okay, and of course I'm only kidding. It's disgusting. So at any rate, I just had to get that off my chest. But we have a wonderful show for you today. I invited back Elise Awad. Elise is the the Vice President of Strategic Enrollment, okay, over at DeVry University. We did a nice show together a couple of months ago, and I wanted to come back and continue talking about this because this is really important, because she is an expert in online learning. That's what DeVry does for a good lot of their kids. They're doing it, obviously, more and more. And actually, when I say kids, I mean students. Some of their students are adults. And they do a lot of proactive student work, okay, to make sure that their students survive and that their students do well and their students have success. So we're going to talk about the importance of proactive care, okay, from the years of experience that DeVry University has with Elise. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We put a new schedule up there every Saturday, and we have all our past shows archived over there, going back many, many years now, and a news section and all that sort of stuff. So you can check that all out, education-talkradio.org. We'll put our new schedule up there on tomorrow, actually Saturday. And please go over and join our Equity Consortium. That is the hottest thing we are doing, our American Consortium for Equity in Education at ace-ed.org. And we also have our magazine over there, which is called Equity in Access. It's really a good magazine. You don't have to be a member. Just go over to ace-ed.org and take a look at it, but we're happy to send it to you. We want you to join our consortium. It's free for educators, and we're creating a place where the education industry and where educators can get together and talk about equity and access. So please, over at ace-ed.org, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And without further ado, let me bring on, all the way from Illinois, in the middle of the country, Elise Awad. Hi, Elise. Welcome back. It's Larry here.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me back. Good to be
my
back.
Yeah, I'm glad. Thank you. It is good. It's my pleasure to have you back. Indeed, you do good work out there. What's going on in Illinois, just from the anecdotal overview of Illinois and COVID and all that sort of thing for everybody before we get into the DeVry part?
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say that I feel that Illinois is taking a lot of the measures seriously in terms of protecting not only our schools and universities across the state, but also our community. So I am very thrilled with how Illinois has responded to COVID-19 and the precautionary measures. I will also tell you, I just visited the lake in Michigan, and they are just as strict and taking it very seriously as well. So,
cool.
You know, very, very, very nice to feel safe in the state that you live in.
Darn right. And actually, I live here in Maine. I don't know if you remember that, but I live in Maine. And we're one of those states
yes.
that's in very good shape right now. I hope that continues. Okay, you know, we're a little off the beaten track. I'll give everybody that. All right, but it's what we're doing hopefully seems to be working, and I just hope it stays that way. It's just crazy times. Oh, and a more specific mm-hmm. note, okay, with DeVry, and I know some of your students could go, you know, in person, other students go online. What's DeVry doing in terms of the pandemic, if anything has changed?
So that's a great question. Nothing's really changed. We are still 100% remote. We've announced to all of our students that we will continue that through the fall. We want to make sure that everybody stays safe. We have the ability to teach online in all of our programs across all of our degree levels. So we did not see the need to rush students back and have them attend on-site in classes.
And talk about for a second, because people have different pictures of DeVry. Okay, by the way, it's DeVry, E-V-U, E-D-U, everybody, DeVry, E-D-U, D-E-V-R-Y. But just to give everybody the overview of what DeVry University, and I don't know if you remember the first time we did a show, I kept calling it DeVry Institute, which shows how old I am, okay? DeVry University, all right? Just so you know. Okay. But just talk, just give everybody the overview of the general picture, okay, of DeVry. Not pandemic, just generically, yeah.
Absolutely. So, by the way, you are not showing any type of age. Everybody does that. It is our legacy,
thank
DeVry
you.
Institute of Technology. You're very welcome.
Bingo.
So we were actually founded in 1931. So I know you're definitely probably aware of the deep rooted history.
Not quite. Thank you.
So actually this year is our 89th year of DeVry being in existence, and our heritage has been fostered around, and it has not changed since 1931 around that career focused education. We've always taught all types of students, all levels. When it was Institute of Technology, it was more aimed at the more traditional high school student, and we've gone into the university space and predominantly working now with adult learners. We offer undergrad and graduate programs, certificates in business, technology, healthcare, and media arts, and we do have 45 campuses, or what you would call learning centers, just smaller locations, physically present in 17 states across the U.S., but the majority of our students, like I had mentioned, are students learning online in today's day and age. So it's sort of shifted that way based on the preference and the demographic of our students being more adult. They're working. They need to be able to take courses on their time. So.
Are most of your courses? This is a good. I love this question because it shows I know a big word. Are they synchronous or asynchronous? In other words, are they live online or can kids go anytime and hear that professor?
So they can go
and
anytime.
I keep saying kids. Everybody who goes to DeVry, I know you're not a kid, but I guarantee you're a kid to me. So go ahead.
Hey, you know what? Honestly, that's a compliment, right?
It is. But I don't want to insult anybody. They are students and they're adults. But go ahead. Yeah.
So we are asynchronous. We do offer live lectures where students are able to attend at a specific time and have that interaction with their professors in some of our courses and with the students in some of our courses. But those live lectures are also recorded and allow those students that cannot attend at that time and that certain block of time throughout the week an opportunity to go back and listen and engage. So, but all of our content is asynchronous, allowing them to attend anywhere at any time, midnight if they want. So,
And that's great. That's great because, I mean, it really is. And I didn't ask you this last time, and I don't even know where this question is going to go. What are the requirements for entrance? Okay, you enroll people. You're the VP of Strategic Enrollment. What are the requirements? can anybody join in the fun? Go ahead, Elise.
So there are entry requirements, ACT, SAT, just like any normal university. If you have not taken the ACT or SAT, you do have to take an entrance exam with DeVry in order to be admitted or have a high school equivalent credentials to be admitted, so a specific GPA. If you are an adult learner who has some prior college behind you, it looks a little bit different depending on the number of courses you've taken, number of credit hours you're transferring in, and your GPA. You may or may not need to take that entrance exam. You could be considered a transfer student, and we do take a lot of students that are transfer students with some type of college credit that come in and work with us to finish their degrees. A lot of associates transfers or folks that have started college but may not have gotten to where they needed to be. And
that's right.
They look to us as an opportunity to really close that gap.
And let me ask you this regarding diversity. And again, you're an online higher ed. You're online higher ed, which I think is wonderful these days. You're in the catbird seat, I got to tell you. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, but and I I don't know how it matters to other students to because they're online, they're by themselves anyway. But I still think the diversity you guys do too. Of course, think it's important. Do you look at that? I mean, your strategic enrollment, whatever that phrase means. Are you looking to get more people of color, more whatever into the group, more women, whatever the case may be? Diversity.
So we, from an entrance standpoint and admission standpoint, we do not look at it in that level of detail in terms of, you know, getting people admitted. But I will say we are a very diverse college or university. We have all different races. We have a good mix of men and women, single parents, working adults, a smaller population of high school students than we have had in the past. But if you look at us across the board, we have been a very diverse institution for quite some time.
Yeah, I figured.
That really feeds into the reason why we have this proactive care model and providing equitable access in classroom, outside of classroom, et cetera.
That was a great answer, by the way. Thank you, which, of course, segues into what we want to talk about. Okay, and that's the proactive care. You use that term. Just describe to everybody what that is.
So,
I love it. I love it. We did the show earlier, you know, a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, whatever it was, and I love this whole idea. So go ahead, because the whole world's online learning now, except a couple of high schools in Georgia, as far as I know. Okay, so talk to me about what's going on with the proactive care. You guys are an expert. You've been doing it for years. Go.
Yep, doing it for years, and actually this is what it really excites me about talking on your show, because I know a lot of people are trying to get into being comfortable with teaching online given the current pandemic, so I'm happy to share some best practices with the community.
Good stuff.
And the way we describe – the reason why we call it proactive care, and I want to underscore the word proactive here, we want to anticipate what our students' needs are before they tell us. We want to be able to really get to a point where we're helping them with whatever barriers or hurdles they may face before they face them. And because we've been doing it for so long, we are now able to we're able to assess and figure out what those needs may be based on what we've seen historically. And we look at proactive care in four really dimensions here. One is technology care. And support, and that's around, you know, the online learning and digital equity. And we also look at it emotional care, time care, academic care and support. So really there's four dimensions, and I'm happy to, Larry, if you think it'd be good to just kind of go through each of those pillars in detail.
Absolutely.
You think
please,
that
absolutely.
So from a proactive care and student support standpoint, when I talk about technology, we all know COVID-19 really disrupted on-campus learning. We may have had the online modality for quite some time, but we also had campus-based students and campus-based learners, and that's really caused constraints in teaching through the live face-to-face modality. So with the shift to online learning for this population of students, we really anticipated some may not be equipped to successfully complete courses without the software or hardware support necessary, especially for the students who relied on our computer labs to complete assignments and being on campus. So to respond to this and provide digital equity, we proactively worked to provide complimentary loaner laptops for students, allowing them to, if they couldn't do what they needed to do remotely, we wanted to make sure that we equipped them to be able to successfully continue on without having to stop based on the pandemic. So we also –
That's great.
You think about technology. The equipment's one thing, right, Larry? But what if I cannot connect to the Internet?
Well, that's the accessibility piece, right? Challenge. Go ahead. You're wrong.
Yep.
What happens then?
Yeah. So right. So accessibility is the next challenge. And believe me, our students face it. So what we did was we proactively provided a guide of tips to all of our student support advisors to really help direct students around where they may find free hotspots, where they may be able to work with a internet provider or a provider in their area for discounting due to COVID. So there was a lot of, I mean, and this isn't just us providing access, there were a lot of providers out there that were doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
I know we had a few on our list, T-Mobile, Verizon, et cetera. So we did make sure that we were getting the resources necessary in a one-pager type guide to direct students where they needed to be directed based on where they lived. So,
cool.
You talk about the access and the digital equity. That's really what technology care and support sort of means in our world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Pillar one, that's good. I'm just curious, just out of curiosity, what percentage of students would you say, I don't know, if have been so affected that they've really had to drop out for a while? I'm not talking about economically. I'm talking about technologically. Do you know? I mean, you must have helped a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. And I don't have an accurate percentage for you, but what I will say is so our student support advisors did handle a lot of situations around the technology component. And those situations were always escalated over to our IT department to help support those students. So we said, listen, if a student is truly concerned about this and they're willing to stick it out and continue on, if we can help solve this challenge for them, let's do that. So I'd like to say 100% of them that had this challenge, we helped, but I don't know.
Could be. You probably came close, but we nobody's ever batting 100%. That's okay. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but you're on top of it. And again, we all got stuck with this. All right. So it takes time to cure the situation. Okay, it's no one's fault to get cancer, but there's different ways to cure it, depending what it is. That's the same thing that happened here. We all got an uninvited guest. Okay, now we got to figure out how to get them out of the house, and we're working on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So
great analogy.
Proud. Yeah. Be proud of what you're doing. So technology, proactive care. That's pillar one. Pillar two.
Yeah. Pillar two would be time and academic care. And so when you think about this pillar, the way we describe time being a concern and a need for extra support and care, when you think about the adult learner, time, even pre-pandemic, that exacerbated it, right? But they're working adults. They have families. They have some of them single parents. I know I mentioned that earlier. They're responsible for a child now that's not sitting in classes, and they're becoming teachers now. So time has really been a struggle amongst our student population during COVID. And we call it the now normal environment, right? I know some call it the new, but our DeVry faculty members have really leaned in to support our students by offering flexible deadlines for assignments, offering extra credit type work to assist in making up for lost points on assignments due to time constraints and specifically childcare needs. And what's really cool, I actually, I know I'm the vice president of strategic enrollment, but I like to, I like to put myself in the student's shoes quite often so that I understand what they're dealing with and how they're, how they're sort of adjusting to college. So I will sit in classes and I will watch how our students are interacting with our professors. And I actually sat in a course, I want to say maybe about a month ago, Larry, and this was online, of course. I just sat in it, silent observer. I did introduce myself, but it was really cool because the professor of this course actually invited the students, and the live lecture was at 6 o'clock at night, invited these students to bring their significant others or their children on camera. And so they were sitting there as their support system in the class. So we're trying to embrace the fact that life is not stopping and it's actually getting harder for students. And we want them to make sure that their families feel like they're part of the DeVry family too. So we've really leaned in on flexibility there. And we're also currently offering 24/7 remote tutoring services. So that's really the academic side of things. And it leans into the time, right? This has always been the case because our students that are attending online, we don't know when they're on doing their coursework. Actually, we could probably take a look in the LMS and find out when they are on, but it's 24/7.
It has to be because a lot of your students, a lot of your students work, and a lot of them have kids, and everything butts into their study time, so to speak. You know,
exactly.
So they're class
types.
So it has to be 24. Life doesn't stop. That's exactly right. Which, again, and this is interesting because you've been in this situation, I'll say it again, at DeVry for a long, long time. K-12 has not been. It's an interesting point. Okay, when will the kids have, you know, some of these families, they have enough broadband for one kid to work one at a time. And they may have five or six kids, or they may have a couple of kids sharing one Chromebook or whatever, whatever the situation might be. So the schools have to learn who their new clients are, so to speak, i.e. these kids at home. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're all coming to class at the exact same time. Okay, so the expectations and the work, the proactive care, if I may, pillar number two, this is important for K-12, okay? And again, you guys have gone through this, okay, and go through it every day, you know, I might add, and you know, multiply it times 1,000 for COVID times. It's really interesting, and schools have to think about this. They have to really think about it hard. Excellent. Pillar number three, which I understand is a hard pillar to follow, a swallow. I blew that joke. I can't believe it. Let's do it again. Pillar number three, a hard pillar to swallow. There you go. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
It's a tongue tire twister.
Yeah, it was.
Emotional care. It really is a hard pillar to swallow. Emotional care is really hard when you're looking at supporting a student remotely, and they're dealing with all the emotions of the pandemic and even just life in general. So I will say this pandemic is generating varying levels of emotions. And you go back to what our students are saying. You talk to the student support advisors, they're hearing some pretty tough stories about students who have contracted the virus or lost loved ones, lost their jobs, dealing with just loss in general. And in their the landscape in terms of their life has really changed. So we have to acknowledge that, you know, they're going to look to us to be that steady state in their life. They want to better their themselves, and they want to get their degree, but they need someone to talk to about how they are going to get through that journey and what that path forward looks like. So our student support advisors do offer emotional care. Our professors do as well. But, you know, I think the most powerful part around this pillar is we allow other students to provide emotional care organically. Hmm. So we have a tool or a platform that we have in place. It's a community platform for our students who need that type of support peer-to-peer that they may have gotten if they were sitting in the classroom or in the hallway at one of our campuses talking to a peer that's in a class with them, right? And you have to understand that when you remove them from interaction face-to-face or you have, you know, online interactions in the classroom that are not as easy as it would be if you were sitting, you know, at our campus, you have to understand that's a component that is still something that very much is important. So we have, a platform. It's powered by our partners at GetSet. And this platform allows them to connect with other students and talk about what they're dealing with in the classroom and outside of the classroom. So Larry, if you were – let's just say you were an accounting major and so was I. I could find you on the community platform and we could talk all day about accounting, but I can also talk to you about what's going on in life and how my busy life is also interfering with my studies and I'm trying to figure out how to balance it all. And, you know, another student can come in and join in on that conversation and say, you know, things around what they do to balance their studies with their current life. And what I will say is a lot of students were talking about COVID. Four or five months, and they're still talking about COVID in the community and how it's impacted them. So
it's going to get worse. So economically, it's going to get worse, unfortunately.
I know.
All right, for everybody.
I hate to say it, but you're right.
Yeah, it is, and it's just a tough time we're heading into. You said something before that really struck me. I said a lot of things, but one thing stood out. You said that your student support staff has geared up. Okay, to help, and we call it in K-12, probably the same thing in higher ed, in social-emotional learning. Okay. In other words, to be able to be resilient and take care of yourself in emotional times like this. But I'm curious, your students, what is your student support staff made of? How were they trained, or how were they trained to handle such situations like they're going through right now?
So they go through a very robust training process and onboarding process. And really, when we hire our student support advisors, we want to make sure that they are hired in understanding what the mission of DeVry University is. And that's really to foster student learning and really support students through their journey. And understanding that our students are diverse and geographically dispersed, and most of it's going to be done over the phone. So, when we bring them in, we want to make sure that they understand that and that they're motivated and driven by the fact that helping students is what their job's going to be day in and day out. And we do a really good job of bringing people in that understand that. And then the training process, there's a lot of materials and tools that we offer our student support advisors to understand what to provide students when they hear certain concerns or challenges. So I'll give you an example. If I'm a student support advisor and there's a student who is emotionally struggling, and it could be for a number of reasons, we offer what we call Aspire for students, A-S-P-I-R-E. It's another support system that we use. It's a complimentary service through an external professional organization called Aspire, and it allows students the ability to speak to a clinician about any issue impacting them emotionally and their emotional well-being. And you can relate that, in K-12 to a social worker, right?
You can relate it in K-12. That's interesting you said that, because I know a number of people I guess they call it the same thing, but it's teletherapy. Okay.
Yep.
Teletherapy. I work with a nice company called Presence Learning that does that. And that is so darn important. I'm so glad to hear that you're doing that. And this is for quote adults, college. I think that's wonderful.
Yes.
I think that's great.
Yes.
Aspire is the one you're using. Aspire.
Yes. And they also they'll talk to a clinician can talk to a student around the emotional concerns, but they also have legal advice, financial consultation, referrals for childcare, housing, life management needs, and this is just increasingly important right now with COVID.
Oh my God, yeah.
So I cannot stress enough the importance of emotional care for students, especially during this time. And not even just COVID, there's unfortunate events across the country and globe right now that we continue to see. And, I hate watching the news because it's like bad,
no,
bad.
Who likes
bad
it anymore?
Bad news, right? Yeah,
and
right?
Here's the other mess. Maybe we'll get lucky this year, like we did with SIIS, however you pronounce that. Okay. Which is the name of the hurricane. If we get a bad hurricane. Okay, and which hurts Florida or Texas or Louisiana and comes up through South Carolina, et cetera. I mean, or the usual string of tornadoes, that hit poor good old Missouri and that sort of thing. And you get kids from all over. We're good with the kids again, students from all over. Okay, and we're so far we haven't had the big natural
disaster.
But this year. But believe me, considering the way the year's going, we'll have one. Okay, I can guarantee it.
I know.
Not a year.
Scary to hear.
It is. Thank you.
Being said out loud, right?
Yes, and I hope I'm wrong, by the way, but I got bad vibes, but whatever. But pillar number four. Pillar number four.
So pillar number four is academic care and support and making sure that we are taking our faculty and empowering them to do what our student support advisors do around proactively checking in with students and using the learning management system to understand when a student may indeed need more support on their end proactively. So what I mean by that is our learning management system will allow us to see when a student's engaging in a class. And if I'm on at midnight in a course and I'm in one particular assignment, but you don't see any output from me, and I've been in this assignment for 2, 3, 4 hours, I think our professors are now well equipped to understand that may mean I need some extra care and support. So they'll reach out and just make sure everything's okay. And we do offer tutoring proactively. We send nudges email nudges,
good.
Text messages, we can asking if they need any support. So really just being proactive about watching how our students are learning in the learning management system. Because, again, if you're in a classroom, it's really easy to understand whether a student's retaining the information or not.
Well, you can see a lot. Anecdotally, you can see a lot.
With this stuff, you can't see anymore.
You know, there's so much pressure on everybody. Like, and I have to say this, online learning, which, again, you guys have been expert in for a long time, okay? Well, that was tough enough when you worked all day and you came home and you did your DeVry work, your college work. That's tough. And you had a family and all mm-hmm. that. Now, add in the COVID mess.
Yeah.
Okay? Economics, you don't have that job anymore or whatever. Okay? And now your kids are home all day. Oh, lucky us, you know, that sort of thing. And my kids, thank God, are grown. My wife and I look up at the sky and say thank you that they're grown and out of here, okay, during all this. You know, it's just absolutely incredible, okay, the pressures that are on people these days. And this is really, really, really good stuff. I got to tell you, all these things that you have done, you've learned, et cetera, it all comes through. And I have to ask this, have you seen – in all of these pillars and the proactive care you're giving, all right, and again, you're VP of strategic enrollment, all right, mm-hmm. as you bring in more diverse students, all right, Latino kids, African-American kids, whatever the case may be, all right, have you seen a change in the way you guys have had to adapt not only to just COVID but to the great amount of diversity that is at your school? Every group needs special care, so to speak. They all come from a different point. All right? How's that working out? And I got to say, this is the same on any given college campus. Okay? I'll use my hometown. An African-American kid from North Philly going to Penn State's gorgeous campus at University Park will have a different experience than a kid from a beautiful middle-class suburb going to the same place at University Park at the same time, okay? Because you're bringing with you your whole life, and things are different. And that African-American has different needs than that suburban kid does. So as all this has changed for you guys, what changes have happened from what you're doing? That was the long way of asking that question, but you get my point.
I totally get your point, I think it's a great question, and what I can say to that is we provide personalized support. So, and it's regardless of age or ethnicity, background, every student's different, and you said that, and I think you're absolutely right. Every student is different, and that's what our student support advisors understand when they're on board, is that every student's different. There is not a blueprint for success in education. There just isn't. Every student needs different kinds of care and support. We think we know, actually, and it's been proven out in results, right? Students persisting, students moving forward and feeling like they're getting the care and support that they need. We do a lot of surveys to solicit feedback, but we have in the overarching theme with these four pillars. It's great, right? But every student, depending on their background, may need different kinds of support. And we'll use technology for an example. If I'm, if I'm in an area where I don't have good connectivity, or if I have a very large family living with me and it's very hard to get the bandwidth necessary to be able to complete my education at specific times or throughout the day, and juggle life and work, our student support advisors have the necessary tools and guides to support students, whichever situation or challenge, whatever situation or challenge you're faced with. So there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. We do personalize our support regardless of demographic. There will be a different situation. Probably every phone call or every discussion may be different.
Yeah.
And so. You know, those pillars, everything under them, right? I gave you a high-level overview, but everything under them is very different for different students. Some may have a Mac and I'm able, maybe able to do my courses, no problem with my eyes closed. But then the person down the street that's attending at DeVry may not even have a laptop that's functioning to do the lab work. And so we may have to ship something to them and maybe just support the student with the Mac in a different way. So we have
That'll teach them to buy a Mac. I'm a PC guy. That'll teach them.
I know. I am too, actually. I'm a PC girl, so I need simple.
It's eHarmony, everybody. PC guy meets PC girl.
There you go.
Right.
that could be a new community in GetSet.
There you go.
PCs and Macs. Yeah.
Well, you do. I have to ask you, Madam VP of Strategic Enrollment, have you seen an upswing in enrollment this year? What's going on with enrollment over at DeVry? Up, down,
so
all around? What's happening?
Enrollment's stable, and we have not seen. And I think it's again because of our heritage and because we've been in online education for so long. Our students look to us for that online learning capability. And so we have not seen a decline in enrollment per se. It's been stable, but it's because of our student population and because the modality really hasn't changed in our university. What I will say, though, is without the proactive care model, we would be challenged right now.
Yep.
Because while we can bring, new students maybe applying to DeVry and starting with DeVry, continuing on is where it becomes a challenge. Applying and getting started is the easy part. It's having the grit and the motivation to get through 3-4 years of an education. And that's where a lot of the concerns and challenges come. And our persistence, what we call persistence, it's session to session, continuing on, has been moving in the right direction. And that's something that I look at and say, okay, our proactive care model is working. Because if life's getting in the way, if COVID's getting in the way, and students are still motivated to continue on and they feel like they're getting the support to continue on, we're doing something right.
And you're in the right place with all the online stuff and you know how to do it. Okay. And enrollment, I believe, will start going up. Okay. Because there's a sea change out there. Okay, not that it wasn't good before at the right. I don't mean it that way, but more and more people aren't going to go away to college, so to speak. Okay, so there's going to be a new way to get things going, so I think it's going to go up. Elise, we got to go. Thank you, my dear. You were terrific as usual. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me again. Very nice.
My pleasure.
Stay safe, my friend.
We'll talk again. I was just going to say stay safe in Illinois or Michigan, wherever you go. Okay?
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a good
Thanks,
one.
Thanks, Elise.
Thanks, Larry.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Elise Awad, everybody, is the VP of Student Enrollment. She's pretty cool over at DeVry University. I guess I'll never stop thinking of it as DeVry Institute, but it's DeVry University, DeVry.edu. It's a good place. It always has been a good place, okay? It's one of the more interesting educational experiences, okay? And it's always been an impressive place, and everybody I've ever talked to ever went there, and I have a lot of friends who did, okay? They're very impressed with it, so check it out. It's good stuff. Anyway, and we all learned a lot from Elise. So thank you, Elise. Okay, thank you, Heather, for helping me set up this show. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. We're going to tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio like we always do. Please go over to ace-ed.edu and sign up and join our consortium. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.